WMKV 89.3 FM, with permission of WMUB-FM, Miami University Broadcasting, is proud to present the following hour-long historic documentary on one of the greatest legends of jazz, Bix Beiderbecke.
This is Bix, a biographical series made possible through a grant from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. In May and June 1928, Paul Whiteman's orchestra was frantically recording on the Columbia label. In order to compete with the yet unreleased Whiteman discs in the Victor vaults, Columbia had to flood the market with new Whiteman tunes. His band cut 13 sides in 3 days. One of the tunes they cut, which features Bix on cornet, was That's My Weakness Now. Frank Powers discusses this release.
That's My Weakness Now is a typical period piece of the time, you might say. It's a 1920s novelty tune from the Age of Innocence, of a different kind of a romanticism than we appreciate now. And, of course, the Whiteman Band played it to the hilt with this thing, featuring the Rhythm Boys with this fine Bill Chalice arrangement and the horn answers to the vocals at different points. In other words, the vocal phrase and then the little horn obbligatos, and Trumbauer and Issy Friedman on clarinet and Bix on cornet are heard on this. And then afterwards, there's a marvelous little bit of arranging by Bill Chalice. That's Bix or cornet. The C melody saxophone of Frank Trumbauer and clarinet again, playing a harmonized unison passage of 16 bars.
The Rhythm Boys are heard on That's My Weakness Now. The song was recorded on June 17, 1928.
Bill Chalice, an arranger for Paul Whiteman,
discusses some of Bix's personal weaknesses.
Very easy to get along with. He had his likes and dislikes, musically, and whether things bored him or not. At least I found him that way. But he was very easy, very nice fellow, really. The only thing I would say that if he hadn't had that need for drinking, you would have thought he was the best guy in the world. A lack of appreciation from the general public. He could get all the appreciation needed, let's say, on the job, but it might be one guy, two guys. Musicians were crazy about him. I've been in the Roseland one time when it was packed with musicians that come in there from their local jobs just to hear him. And the band would play a set where he'd have something to do in every number. And they'd burst into applause, and real applause, too, heavy. But then when they'd file out and there were just dancers there, they just give applause for the band, because it was a good band. That's all.
In Chicago on July 7th, Bix and his gang recorded Old Man River. The gang, for this date, consisted of Bix, Bill Rank, trombone, Izzy Friedman, clarinet, Lenny Hayton, piano, Min Lybrook on bass sax, and Harry Gale on drums.
Old Man River. Bix Beiderbecke had recorded this number with the Whiteman Band, this Old Man River. It's a composition of Jerome Kern. It's a hit from Showboat. It features the group of musicians that the Bix Gang records were made with at the time he was playing with the Whiteman Group. Thank you.
The same session found Wa-Da-Da, recorded for OK by Bix and his gang.
A piece of 1920s nonsense composed by Harry Barris and Jimmy Cavanaugh. Of course, Harry Barris is one of the rhythm boys of the Whiteman Band. And Wa-Da-Da was a vehicle of the rhythm boys, which they recorded for Columbia Records concurrent to this recording. So Bix was probably doing a favor for Harry when he decided to record this tune, but I believe it to be one of the most successful of Bix's latter-day recordings under his own name.
Armstrong remembers his association with Bix in Chicago.
Sunset on the south side. That's when he'd come out and stay up after his last show until everybody would leave. And we're practically preservative, you know what I mean? Whether that Oakham Tokum there, you know, his choice people to us, you know, Earl Hines and all of us, we treasure him, you know. It's them other boys that he played with and ran around with. And there was wire, and then it didn't take life like we did. We had a little better way from the old timers than Bix, you know. But if you'd have come up with us, I think you could live in the day. There was Earl Hines, there was Donnell Howard, and there's Toppy Hall on the drums, and all. When that boy walked on that stand, I mean, that was class. It's like Jesus walking up there, and no, nothing but respect. And we grew together some beautiful things.
By September 1928, Bix Beiderbecke seems to have lost some of his self-confidence.
during the period with which the Whiteman Band was recording in the latter days of 1928. A series of concert orchestrations were made for 12-inch recordings. These were recordings that lasted nearly 5 minutes on a 12-inch 78 record, and such as The Man I Love, Melancholy Baby, Gypsy. But the most notable for the work of Bix was probably Sweet Sue. After a fantastic introduction with a vocal from the trombonist in that band at that time, Jack Fulton, Bix takes this really marvelous solo under a derby hat. Many of Bix's later recordings were made under derby hats. In other words, they softened his tone. It's quite difficult sometimes, you know, when you hear Bix play under this derby, to distinguish the quality of sound from Frank Trumbauer's C Melody Sax. And it's an interesting point of reference. And one begins to wonder if Bix, that particular period of his career, wasn't beginning, because of his personal problems, to be a bit possibly in a situation of loss of confidence, that he would not be able to generate the quality of tone that he had on his earlier recordings.
Without you.
Despite his personal problems, Vicks was still able to take a joke in stride. Bill Rank, the trombone player for Whiteman, who also recorded with Vicks and his gang, recalls one particular incident.
We used to play tricks on the poor fellow. I mean, gosh, it was laughable, naturally. But he had this big, it was like a valise. It wasn't a Gladstone bag or anything. It was one of these kind that opens up at the top, you know. So we were waiting for a train one time, and one of the fellows walked down the tracks, and he picked up a couple of these iron brake shoes off of freight cars or passenger cars, I don't know. And they must weigh about 25, 30 pounds apiece. And they put two of those in Vicks's grip. So we got ready to get on the train. Vicks picked up this grip. He said, boy, he said, I'm either awful tired or this grip is awful heavy. I don't know which. So he lugged this up on the train and finally got to his hotel. And when he opened his grip to take out some clothes, he found these two brake shoes in there. Well, we never heard the last of that for a while. Yeah, wise guys, he'd say. He was just a nice guy. I mean, I don't think there was a mean bone in his body. I mean, as far as revenge or anything like that for things that, little pranks that were played on him.
Frank Trombauer continued to record for OK Records as well as with Whiteman. For a September 20th session, he recruited Bix and Bill Rank. Along with these three went Izzy Friedman, Lenny Hayton, Eddie Lang, Min Liebrook, George Marsh, and vocalist Smith Ballou. They recorded Love Affairs in New York.
It's a pop tune of that time. The later recordings that Trombauer was making this period are increasingly commercial. The jazz content is more isolated and more limited. I think Love Affairs is typical of that.
Thank you.
And so Bix Beiderbecke continued his fabled career, besieged by personal frustration. The legend was building. This is Bix, a biographical series made possible through a grant from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Consultants for the series were John Steiner, along with Joseph Campbell and Philip Evans. Commentary was recorded by Frank Powers. Continuity was written by Mary K. Fulton. Audio engineer, Michael J. McGuire. Bix was researched, produced, and directed by Jim Grover. This is Bill Utter speaking for Miami University Radio.
WMKV 89.3 FM, your home 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for all your favorite music from the 1920s through the 1940s, is proud to present another half-hour program from the historic documentary on one of the greatest legends of jazz, Bix Beiderbecke.